God wants to make it inextricably clear that your relationship to him vertically includes your relationship to others horizontally.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's why church needs to be more than just a social gathering.
Real people in real relationships are meeting real needs in a real way.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Large, small, good or bad, every one of us is part of a family. But Dr. Evans says Christians are also a part of a second family. And today he explains how we should invest in those relationships. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 as he begins.
When God created the church, he was creating an environment for spiritual family relationships to be fostered. He never created the church simply to be a classroom for you to get instruction. He certainly didn't create it for it to be a theater where you come to watch a performance. He created it to be a community where authentic Christianity is lived out. He wants the church to be a community of authenticity where real people in real relationships are meeting real needs in a real way. Have you ever been to a carnival and seen the cardboard figures that are carved out and then there's a hole in the middle for somebody to put their head in and to take a picture? So a man who wants to look muscle bound will put his head in a picture of a muscular figure, or a lady who wants to look like a beauty queen will put her head in the picture of a bathing beauty and a picture be taken. But it doesn't take a genius to observe that that body doesn't fit that face. That body doesn't fit that look. That the way the head looks and the way the body is isn't the same. We run into that problem spiritually. Jesus is our head, but the way the body looks and the way the head looks don't look like they belong together. Don't look like it's a match. And part of the reason for that is that for many people, church becomes their fake visit for the week. Paul, in writing the church at Rome, is calling them to the big give, first to God. God will then push that back to you, and he wants you to push it out to others. And that's why he begins in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Let love be without hypocrisy. Love in the Bible is passionately and righteously pursuing the well-being of another. Passionately and righteously pursuing the well-being of another. Love always takes you out of yourself because you are loving an object, whatever that object is, that person, place, or thing. It is passionately and righteously pursuing the well-being of another. But what I want to focus on, it says, don't love with a mask on. He says, let not your love be hypocritical. Don't be a hypocrite. The word for hypocrite was used in the Greek world of an actor who wore a mask. And you've seen them in those older movies where they would take a mask and put it over their face in order to play a character. That same actor would then switch masks. And then he would put on another mask to play another character. He may play three characters in a play. He would go over and get the third mask and put it in front of his plate. And those people were called hypocrites. In other words, somebody wearing a mask in order to be an actor. Some of the best actresses and actors you know are in church because they come with a mask on. They come faking it. It comes out in our words. How you doing? Fine. Even when fine is not true. But the reason why people have to put on a mask is they are afraid what will happen if they unmask themselves. How they will be looked, viewed, criticized, and critiqued. And he says, love is without hypocrisy. No mask. abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. So he gives the two boundaries of love. Love doesn't skip evil, and it doesn't ignore good. It calls what's wrong, wrong. It calls what's right, right. Because love doesn't negate the truth. He says, now in community, in the body of Christ, there ought to be an environment where you can be loved without wearing a mask, without being a hypocrite, without being an actor, where you don't have to put on a performance for Showtime at the Apollo, where you don't have to come and perform Christianity, because it is an authentic environment for truth. Now, let me tell you why this is important, as we'll see as we go through this. It is important, 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and following, because God determines, watch this, you don't want to miss this, much of what he's going to do to, with, and for you by how you're relating to, with, and for others. Let me say that again, because I don't want you to miss this. Much of what God decides to do or not do with, to, and for you is predicated on what you do with, to, and for others. He does not want you to camouflage with him. And he wants you to be authentic, me to be authentic with others. He goes on to verse 10, be devoted to one another. Here we have two one another's in one verse. In brotherly love. That word brotherly love deals with family love, like Philadelphia. It deals with the love in the context of a family. In brotherly love, give preference to one another again, in honor. The word devoted is the word that means committed. This is not a word of casual relationships. There was no thought in the Bible that the church would be a place of casuality. I casually drive up. I casually walk in. I casually sit down. I casually listen. I casually leave. He says, no, no, your gathering is to be a place of devoted, like folks are within a family. Brotherly love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's where the word comes from. It deals with family kind of relationships. Folk who are living together in the same spiritual house, which is why the Bible calls the church the family of God. He wants it to be a place where people are committed to one another, devoted to one another, and a benefit to one another. Now, we are living in a very selfish world. We're living in a world, even in a Christian world, where it's about me, myself, and I. You hear it all the time. I say it all the time. People come to church to get their blessing. How many people have you heard or met coming in the church who said, I came to church today to find out how I could be a blessing? It's usually they've come to get their blessing. The reason why God calls you into community is that you belong to something bigger than your solo act, than me, myself, and I, than just you. You. It's interesting, when teenagers want their own room and they want their own space, they will come out when they want something. And usually the thing they come out for that they want, they didn't pay for. They want to rob the refrigerator. They want to ask for gas money. They want to use keys to the car. They want something for them. Other than that, leave me alone. And I will shut my door and prefer you put a lock on it. In fact, they can become self-sufficient, put their own TV in, their own iPad, their, you know, own iTunes. They can eye themselves to death. And in a house of a family, pretend nobody lives there but them. God wants to make it inextricably clear that your relationship to him vertically includes your relationship to others horizontally. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Stick with me. Your relationship with him vertically, it all starts with the big gift to God. Present your body, but it doesn't end there. Your relationship to him vertically includes your relationship to others horizontally. So God will look at what he does with you, to you, and through you, and for you, and juxtaposition that to what you do with, for, to, and through the benefit of others. And if there is nothing that goes through you, you may be limiting what comes to you. Let me say that again. If God can't get anything to flow through you, you may just have limited the prayer you've asked him to do for you. Because you are always, always, always blessed to be a blessing. And that's why there's so many one another's in scripture. Over and over and over and over again. He says it is a family issue and you are to be the big giver, not only to yourself, not only to God, but to benefit others, the one another's, giving preference and honor to someone else. I want you to be searching for opportunities to impact somebody outside of you. Now, why would you go through all that trouble to search for opportunity when you got all this stuff happening in your own life, when you got all this difficulty in your own, why would you go looking for opportunities to impact somebody outside of you? Because God pays attention to the horizontal when he's ready to move on the vertical. When you're wanting something to come to you, reach out beyond you, because when you reach out beyond you, you get God's attention on you. So the best way to get God to move for you is to see you moving for the benefit of someone else. You remember I said, give and it will be given to you. He says, whatever the it is you need, in addition to your general obedience to God, look for that need to be met in somebody else. Because now you have become a vehicle of a blessing. You become a conduit.
Dr. Evans will have more about moving those blessings along to your church family when he returns in just a moment. First, though, let me tell you about a great conduit of blessing that flows in both directions. It starts when we send you all 6 messages in Tony's current teaching series, Return on Investment, which covers vital biblical principles like surrender, service, and the benefits of investing our lives in the Lord. Along with it, we'll include the companion study guide that's perfect for use with your personal devotions, as well as your Bible study or small group. All we ask in return is that you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So don't wait. Make the arrangements today to get your Return on Investment resource packet before this limited-time offer runs out. You can do that online at tonyevans.org or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where someone's always standing by to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, Dr. Evans will come back to continue our message right after this.
Democrats, Republicans, Independents, they all claim God is on their side. But Dr. Tony Evans says we all need to line up on God's side.
The Word of God must trump your political alliances if you call yourself a Christian.
That's why the Tony Evans Training Center just introduced an exciting new course, How Should Christians Vote? An in-depth look at what every believer needs to know before stepping into the voting booth.
I kind of want to know where God stands so I know where I'm supposed to stand as a child of God.
Believers depend on the Bible to guide our lives. This course will equip you to stop changing books when it comes to politics.
Whether it's immigration, taxation, abortion. Since it's a nation under God, what does the God over us think about what the nation wants to do?
The How Should Christians Vote course will teach you to sort through the spin, hype, and double talk this election year and make a truly godly decision at the polls, all with the help of in-depth content from Tony, probing discussion questions, access to full-length messages, and an online discussion forum where you can ask specific questions and get detailed answers. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center.
He says in verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Lagging behind means moving slow when you ought to be moving fast. You're in the slow lane. You're not in the fast lane. You're lagging behind. He adds another word to it, fervent. The word fervent means to boil over. It's like heating water up for tea and you get it on a boil. Fervent means to boil it. Not only does God want you to impact the life of another, he wants you to put it on boil. He wants that thing hot. He wants you to go for it. He don't just want you to throw some slop out there. He wants you to zero in on that thing and say, God, this is what you want me to do. And let me put it another way. When God touches you and says, look, you know what? You can do something about that. You can help that situation. You can do something over there. Don't say next week. When God lights something in you and he says to you, I'm talking to you, that's something you can help with. That's somebody you can pray for. That's a situation you can make better. He said, don't lag behind. Turn the fire up and let it boil. He says, be fervent in spirit. Let the fire burn. And he says, don't just do it for people. He says, serving the Lord at the end of verse 11. You're actually focusing in on God. He goes on and he says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Let me think about practicing hospitality. The word hospitality is used in scripture of helping strangers. Contributing to the needs of the saints has to do with situations you are more familiar with because you know what the need is. Practicing hospitality has to do with strangers. He's talking about other believers who you haven't gotten to know yet. Even though I've never met you, don't know you, you're a stranger to me, I just want you to know that God loves you, and I believe that the same God that came through for me can come through for you, and maybe sometime we need to meet at church, and I can pray with you physically, but right now you're my stranger, and I'm going to pray for you. And if there's something practically I can do, contribute the needs, cook a meal, provide a gift, whatever it is, I'm going to do that because God has laid John Doe on my heart. Don't even know the guy. All you know is he's a stranger to you. Now, let me tell you why that's important. Because the book of Hebrews chapter 13 says, by taking care of strangers, you entertain angels unaware. The Greek word for angels, angelos, means messenger. And a messenger is a divinely assigned being to bring God's answer to you. Angels have full-time jobs, and their job is to deliver God's message to his people. Sometimes they're spiritual angels God uses, sometimes they're human angels God uses. But he uses scenarios to bring to you the solution you were looking at for you. So when you go to practice hospitality in a responsible way to a stranger, you may be going to the situation that God wants to use to give you the answer you've been waiting to hear from. See, God has got this thing so that the vertical and the horizontal, when they connect, not only benefits what you go out to, but what you're looking for. And the more I look at it, this principle of the vertical and horizontal meeting, when the more I look at the two connecting, then I am now seeing how God has got this thing working, which is why he says in 1 John chapter 4 that if a man says he loves me, but he has no love for the brethren, he's not going to experience me. So a lot of us are blocking God by being selfish, only focused on ourselves. Far too many of God's children are spiritual orphans. They have no family. Or maybe they're in foster care. They just bounce around from house to house. They don't have a place where they land. To join a church is not merely to have a place to sit on Sunday. It is to build community with some group within that. That's why the Bible says they gathered together and then they went from house to house. So they broke up into smaller arrangements so that they could connect with one another and relate to one another. So they could deal with people who were like them or struggling with them. So that there was community in the house. That's why we're emphasizing in this season of our ministry our horizontal connectedness without compromising our vertical connectedness. We're emphasizing horizontal connectedness so that people are connecting with people to give you the opportunity not only to reach out this way, but to give God something to work with this way. And when church becomes this, Then it becomes authentic. Then it becomes real. It's no longer fake. It's no longer Sunday morning only. It's no longer religious activity. It's no longer just sit, soak, and sour. It's creating a healthy environment in which God is free to move. Because no matter how much money we spend or how many programs we come up with, if the environment is not conducive horizontally and vertically, God is not free to express all that he wants to do. But when that environment changes, so that not only is the vertical right, but the horizontal is connected to it, God explodes through his people, the church. Having that group within the church who love you and whom you love, because you can't know everybody. You can't relate to everybody unless the church is real small. You can't do that. But there ought to be people within the family of God whom you love, who love you, where both of you love God, and you are committed upward. You're committed outward, freeing God up to blow everybody's mind. And that's why when the Bible speaks of the unity of the church, preserve, he calls it the unity of the Spirit, because that's where the Spirit goes off. Goes wild. That's where he fully can express himself. That's also why the devil wants to keep fighting going on. The devil wants to keep fighting going on because he knows that'll keep the spirit away. He knows if he can keep a fight in your family or in God's family, if he can keep a fight, he knows prayer becomes a waste of time. Bible says a husband and wife, the God will not hear the prayer of a husband who's not getting along with his wife. Says, if you and your wife are not getting along, don't bother to pray. God's not listening. 1 Peter 3:7. I'm praying every day. Why? Because Satan has created a division and using that division to keep God's spirit away because he only operates in unity. See? And that's why we think a fight is just a fight. No, a fight is Satan's attempt to keep God off the premises. Whatever the premises happen to be. And so this thing is bigger than, and the more I look at it, it's just everywhere. These one another's, this horizontal connectedness.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final illustration to wrap up today's lesson, Giving to Other Believers. That's the title to mention when you check with us for details on getting the full-length CD, which includes material we didn't have time to present here on the air. Or better yet, ask about getting this entire 6-message series, Return on Investment, on CD and digital download, along with the companion study guide. For a limited time, they're yours as our way of saying thanks for your contribution toward Tony's work here on this station and around the world. Get more information online at tonyevans.org or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help with your request. Of all the people we could give to, you'd think our enemies would be at the bottom of the list. But on Monday, Dr. Evans will explain why the biggest gift we could give them turns out to be a gift we give to ourselves. Right now, though, he's back to wrap up today's lesson with this final illustration.
A father and his son were walking along the beach one day, and a lot of starfish had been swept up on the shore, hundreds of them. So the father would take a step and he'd pick up a starfish, throw it back in the water, take another step, pick up another starfish, throw it in the water, go a few more feet, pick another starfish, throw it in the water. Well, the son said, Daddy, I don't know why you're doing that. There are hundreds of starfish up here. You can never throw them all back in the water. You just go a few feet and pick up one and throw it to the water. What difference does it make? To which the father says, well, it makes a lot of difference to the ones I pick up. I can't pick up them all, but the ones I do pick up, their lives have been changed. Guess what? There are a lot of starfish here this morning. The pastors can only pick up so many because we have our human limitations too. And sometimes we are starfish and need to be picked up. So we can't pick them all up, but guess what? If I can get enough folk on the beach, if I can get enough saints on the beach, then we can pick up all these starfish and get them all thrown back to the life that they're supposed to live because there's enough folk on the beach to pick up the ones who've been washed ashore so that we can all get back to the life we were created to live.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.